You know, the only thing the devil wants to do between Sunday evening and Saturday night is to get you down. So how do you get back up? You get back up. You start praising the Lord. See, the Bible tells us to praise Him and thank Him in all things, not for the garbage we're in. We need to understand it. Lord, I thank You that my car just blew up. I'm on my way to work. That's not exactly the time you want to think about it, is it? Lord, I thank You that in spite of this, You are still King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and You're going to work this out to my favor. See, we've twisted the gospel to meet some stupid ideologies that just don't work. I never could thank God for, Lord, I thank You I drive a rust bucket. I had a bump one time, and I lost a body mount. I'm like, I got out. Well, I guess it's time for a new truck. And God delivered. Just so you know, I didn't ever curse it. I started thanking God, and He blessed it. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, happy 18 years. Praise God. It's hard to believe. We were even talking the other day that, you know, it's really hard to believe we've been here 14 at this place. It still seems new. And, you know, and I think part of the reason why it seems new is because we haven't just stopped dreaming. And I'm not talking pie in the sky dreams. I'm talking what God's going to do with this place. Everything we've done in here, we've always had a plan. When we had a wall right back there about where Richard's at, when we had a wall, we had a plan to take that wall out. Matter of fact, you can still see parts of it. Eventually, there's going to be more and more. God has got it all in His timing. I don't want anything that's not in God's timing. Amen? But it's been a good 18 years. I hope you read the newsletter. I don't write things very often, but when Angela said, would you write something for the newsletter? I said, she's all the time, do you got anything for a newsletter? I said, you know, I'm not a guy that writes stuff. I mean, for crying out loud, I didn't write anything in school. It's why I barely got out of there. But I sat down and Angela had put she'd texted me and I said, okay, I'll think about it. And I sat down and then I think 25 minutes later, I was done. She showed up an hour later, I handed her my paper. And that's what happens when God moves. So, but 18, I'm looking around here. There's very few that can't remember 18. Y'all, I mean, I'm from the generation that was 18 and I like it. And I know some of you are too. I know how long some of you have been around. Y'all remember. But particularly, we feel grown up, but yet we're not. Honestly, you know, if people would have told me at 18, oh, you, I mean, everybody tried to tell me I didn't know anything, right? You don't know anything. Well, once I got out in the real world, I discovered I really didn't know anything. About 25, I started feeling, okay, I might know a few things now. Well, knocking on 50, I think I know a few things. Because I've learned from you. Some of you that are leading the way. So just keep in mind that there's a generation behind me. There's two generations behind me. And they're looking at us still to lead the way. Just because we're getting up in those echelons in our years doesn't mean we back off. Phil and I were talking about this the other day. Caleb was 80 years old when he told God, he said, give me my mountain. 80 years old, and he was still wanting to go kick some butt and take some names. And that's not figuratively. He was going to literally kick their butt and take their name off of that mountain. It was his. And God said, I said it, and so there you go. Just come to Israel's aid when they need you. And they did it. So don't ever think, well, I'm just too old to do anything. No, you're not. You're still around for a reason. That's what I tell people. When Bernice Southard asked me, and I think she was 102, she said, why am I still here? I can't see. I keep asking God, why am I still here? And I said, I don't know. But I said, obviously, God's got a reason for you. So you keep doing what you're doing. Who knows whose life you might have impacted? Something you may have said that you got through. But anyhow, but it is a good day. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And I thank God that this time around, we're not on the heels of a national tragedy. So keep that in mind. This country's been through a lot in 18 years. And right at the moment, we're going through so much more we never thought we'd see. But these are just still signs of the times, ladies and gentlemen. You don't believe Jesus is coming back? I feel sorry for you. Because the Bible's predicted everything that's starting to come happen. And we're seeing things happen in Israel. We're seeing things happen in this country. How many of you had ever thought you'd see presidential candidates saying, first off, they're going to take your firearms, whether you like it or not, which I personally think that's a brain cramp, and tell the church, we're going to crack down on you. That's Beto O'Rourke, just so you know. Not the crook, literally criminal. He was arrested for burglary, a few other things. I'm not being political here. I'm just telling you, this is what we've got. There was a time in life you wouldn't have had people like that. John F. Kennedy didn't say, I'm going to come take your guns. He didn't say, here, let me show you what the government can do for you, right? Y'all, some of you were around during that. What did he say? He said, ask your government, what can I do for you? What can I do for my country? It's totally flip-flopped. It's totally backwards now. If you're a patriot, you're a lunatic. Eh? And I was never accused of being totally hitting on all cylinders. Amen. But let's just remember that. In 18 years, we've seen a lot happen. And there's more that's going to happen. But God is still in charge. Amen. Let's bless the tithe and offering. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord, for 18 wonderful years, Father. They've been filled with times of rejoicing, times of sorrow. But Father, through it all, you never left us. You never forsook us. So Father, I thank you for that. I thank you for your faithfulness. Lord, I thank you that at every turn and every twist in the road, you've been there, you've guided us through it, Lord God, and you've made our paths seem as though they were straight. So, Father, we bless you for that. And now, Father, we thank you for this tithe and offering that we were able to give. Father, that we have jobs, that we are able to support our families, and that you keep pouring blessings into our lives that we will not have room enough to receive. So, Father, I bless it now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated and the super kids are dismissed. And don't forget, following service, I know you can smell it in the air. Now, as I'm blessing the food, I will be walking down the hallway. I will be on the other side by the time you hear amen. Yeah, Phil's already going to be in there, so. Praise God. Well, I woke up yesterday morning. It was a little chilly. 63 in the house. I said, well, I'm going to go down and start a fire. I started the fire. About 45 minutes later, it's 69 in the house. By the time I got back home later that afternoon, it was 76. I think at 1:30 this morning, it was 86. We got Joshua's wood burner up and running. And he said, oh, it was so great. He said, my house was warm for once. He said, but we were sitting in our shorts. He said, it was hot. He's like, we're going to choke that thing up. Praise God. I like being warm. I love the fall, but I'm not a huge fan of freezing. Like I've said, anytime they said, hey, we got a deployment I could have gone to see Mount Fuji. Anybody ever seen pictures of it? I could have gone to Mount Fuji. I could have gone skiing on Mount Fuji. But it's cold. I'm from Ohio. I'm on a tropical island, and you want me to go to A snow-capped mountain? Are you nuts? I know what snow is. Send these boys that are from California and Florida. And that's usually who all went. All right. So last week we were in 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3. We're just, like I said, I'm going to break this whole passage down. There's 13 scriptures, 13 verses here. And we're going to break it down. I'm going to do the first three, then I'm going to skip and go to 8, finish up the last five, and then we're going to go and do the middle. But we were talking last week about love and how if we don't love, if we prophesy without love, if we pray in tongues without love, whatever we do, if we feed somebody without love, God's love. See, a lot of times we like to justify who we bless. Well, they're a good person. I'll do this for them. You won't hardly hesitate for a good person, will you? I guarantee you, the Bible says you'll barely lay your life down for a good person. Let alone somebody who doesn't deserve it. Somebody went around telling lies on you, maybe stole from you. You wouldn't do it. I can promise you, I would have to, even now, I would have to take a step back and check my own salvation and say, God, did I really get saved? Because I'm questioning whether I would do it. Because we act on our flesh most of the time, right? We don't act with God's love. We act with the love that, oh, you give me good feelings, good vibes. That's a favorite internet thing. Sending good vibes your way. What are you doing? I don't get that. I ain't sending nothing your way. I prayed. I sent my prayers to the Father, not to you. When they go to the Father, He sends them back and does whatever needs to be happening. You don't need me sending you good vibes. Because if I'm vibrating, I'm low on sugar. I need to eat. But anyhow, we were talking about, let me get back here on my notes, about when people do things out of the flesh. They just do it because they thought it would be a good thing. If your flesh tells you to do something, your flesh, not the spirit, your flesh, hit the brakes. Back up and say, why? Did I just think that? Was it my heart? Was it something God told me? You can ask Angela several times. There was one time we went somewhere to eat, and it was going to be pretty cheap. You know, I mean, she's never really been an expensive date to feed. But this one place, I was like, yeah, we're going to get out of here pretty cheap. I think I got a discount. We had a coupon or something. And then the waitress comes up. And God said, this is the tip. I'm like, that's three times my meal, the whole thing. But God told me to do it. So I did it. That's not the first time He's made me do it. But I was able to bless somebody else. And in that, I got blessed. I ain't going to tell you who, because I don't even remember where. But it's none of your business. You should be doing stuff like that. Listening to the Holy Spirit. Instead of judging person. Well, I can't believe what they're, if you see a young girl that's pregnant, instead of judging her, pray. Don't tell me you weren't there at one time in your life. Well, I didn't get caught. That's the only difference between you and me. I didn't get caught at everything I did. I told you, I was pretty slick. I still got a printer in North Carolina at Camp Lejeune that they told me where the toner was. I went down, opened up the thing. Well, there's this jug of stuff. I poured it into the printer. Turns out it wasn't toner. We had to buy a whole new printer. Master Guns was, to say he was hot, was mild. By the way, he'd been in the Marine Corps 30 years at that point, so he was not having anybody's garbage. And then I found out about that, and I was like, going this way, I'm not going into the office for a week. Well, you should feel ashamed. Well, I'm a little embarrassed, but feel ashamed? No, I didn't know anything about it. I was a diesel mechanic, not a printer mechanic. But if our flesh is telling us to do something, we need to hit the brakes. Now, you can always be benevolent, okay? When I'm talking about benevolence, if God tells you to give something, you give it. And if your flesh is just saying, give, 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 you sometimes need to back off. And the reason being is maybe God has told somebody else to give them something better than what you were going to give them. And when they see that you gave, they won't give it. I've had that happen. I've seen it happen. And like, that doesn't negate you from your responsibility to give what God told you to give. If God told you to give it, you needed to have gave it regardless. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Always listen to the Holy Spirit. John 16:13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, this is the Holy Spirit, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will lead you into all truth. You never know. The person might be a scammer. Everybody's all up in arms about people peddling on the side of the road, right? Yeah, we all are. Pray before you give. That's all I ask. Some of those people have absolutely no problem. They throw a little dirt on in the morning, step out in the thing and says, we'll work for food, homeless. And one that really ticks two of them is either homeless vet or have children. But yet, you don't think I noticed the $200 Nikes you got on? Well, somebody could have gave them. Oh, there's a slight possibility, but that person just did them a huge disfavor. I'm just saying, you need to listen to the Holy Spirit because sometimes things are a trap. Maybe you weren't supposed to give to that. Well, you pull up and up here's this person who has that. They got holy clothes. Their eyes are matted. Their hair is matted. You can tell they're homeless, but this guy didn't even smell. That much, by the way, is a huge sign that you're homeless. Where are you taking a bath at? Creek? Eventually, you'll just smell like a creek. And anybody that's been swimming in a creek knows you kind of smell funny after a while. So, when you pull up, you have no more money. You don't have anything to give to that person, to bless them, to help them. And God said, give. But you're like, God, I gave to this person. God, you need to get your act together. No, we need to listen to the Holy Spirit on what to do and when to do it. The reason being is because in 1 Peter 5:8, Peter says, be sober, be vigilant, for your enemy, the devil, roams about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's not a roaring lion. We need to understand this. Everybody's afraid of him. He says, lion, going to jump out. He is not a lion. Ezekiel says that when he's revealed, people are going to look at him. Seriously? I was afraid of you? You're the one that did all this? He's not this big goat-headed thing going, ah. He's not got muscles. He is an embarrassment to all of creation. He's not powerful. He only has the power you give him, by the way. Oh, I don't go near that house. That thing's possessed. Well, you're giving him the spirit of fear over your life. But let me keep going. So the devil will set traps. It says he's roaming about looking, seeking whom he may devour. He's waiting for you to get caught in a trap. His number one trap is offense. You misinterpret something you heard. That never happens. Yeah. Never. Nobody ever, ever, ever misinterprets what they heard. Not every situation is as it seems. Matthew 10:16. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. He didn't say be stupid as sheep. Sheep really aren't that smart. They will just follow whoever's feeding them. They'll go wherever they're told for the most part. That's why they have dogs. The dogs help. They said, be wise as serpents. Snakes really aren't stupid. They can freak you out. That's why they lie in wait in little corners. When I lived in North Carolina and I had to crawl up underneath the house, first time I had to crawl up underneath the house, I'm like, Yeah, they got copperheads down here, water moccasins, and I'm at Camp Lejeune, so that could be anything. And I've seen the moccasins and the copperheads in the swamp. And it's like, I got to crawl under here. Do I really want to do this? I get the biggest flashlight I can, and I scan it, looking for big spiders. I'm not afraid of spiders, but I've seen people that got bit by some big spiders and had to have chunks removed out of their arms. So there's some spiders that'll mess your dope up. But we got to be wise. So we got to look. Every time I'd crawl underneath the house, and I still do it today. And sometimes in the line of work I've been in, crawling underneath a house, and especially an old one, there could be glass, there could be metal, there could be something sticking up that if I just jump in, oh, well, whatever, I got to go get stitches, I got to go get a tetanus shot, I got to go have something done because I didn't check it out first. That's why when we give to ministries, we check them out. Not everybody that sends us an envelope saying, please give, do we give to. Our flesh only wants to do what makes us alone feel good. You can receive joy from helping and ministering others, and you should. You should receive joy in helping somebody and ministering to them. I receive joy when I get up here and I do what I'm supposed to do. If you only do it for the glory, you're selfish. That's why I said so many people, they want to be up here. They want the pulpit. I can promise you, you do not want the pulpit. You got to be half dumb to be in the pulpit. I ain't going to lie. Because you will get hit so many times straight on, and you still got to take it. And coming as a Marine, I can promise you, the first thing I want to do is grab you by your throat, rip it out, and beat you with it. But God says, I can't do that. So I have to crucify that side. And I have to exercise His kind of love and give you mercy. When we say, thus says the Lord, people camp out. Now we're going back to talking about prophetic utterances. I've seen it ever since, good night, maybe 9 or 10, people giving prophetic words, people being anointed and called, told their prophets. So they start going around giving people prophetic words. And the problem is, when you tell somebody a prophetic word, they stop right there. They camp out on that word. They can't go any further. Well, I don't want to mess up God's plan for my life. I can promise you right now, if I had been told as a teenager that God was going to call me into ministry, my life would have probably taken a few different routes. But the truth of the matter is, I understand now on this side why God had me go the way I went. It had nothing to do. I already knew the Bible. That was my only source of entertainment besides the Dukes of Hazzard and the Hulk. I didn't have a life. All I had was a little red storybooks. And so I knew the Bible. But I had no people experience. Nothing to show me what people were really like and how love was supposed to work. And I can promise you, you don't get it just staying in your hometown all the time. That's why I tell people, you need to get out just a little bit. You know, we've sent out people from time to time over the years to different countries. We got Ukraine. Is it Ecuador, Morgan? Bolivia. I always mess that one up. Where are you at? Cambodia. Yeah. So we've got people go out, and you don't experience what you can experience over in those other countries. We don't have it. The first thing I wanted to do when I landed in St. Louis at midnight was I wanted to get out on the runway and kiss the ground. Oh yeah, Japan is not considered third world, but the Philippines was. And even Japan was different. Things are so much different. You don't know how good you have it until you go away. Yeah. But what happens is when we get a prophetic utterance that says, thus says the Lord, we start steering our life towards that plan, don't we? Well, I'm going to take the wheel, God. Y'all have seen the bumper sticker, God is my co-pilot, right? I like the one that says, if God is your co-pilot, get out of the seat. You're the one controlling it. You still have your options to do what you need to do. Okay? It was still in my hands to enlist or not enlist. And that was God's call for my life the whole time. And somehow I knew it. But I did not want to do it because of fear. I mean, come on. You all seen the commercials, haven't you? They don't pick 5'7" guys that weigh 120 pounds for the commercials. They go 6 to 6'3". You got to be about 225 to 250. You got to look the part. You got to be big. You got to have chiseled features. I got into Marine Corps and found out I'm the norm. There was a few guys shorter than me and a few guys taller. But for the most part, the Marine Corps is 5'8". I know because I had a hard time finding pants. My size of pants were always gone at cash sales where we bought our uniforms. Yeah, and my size of shoes. They were always gone. But fear was keeping me out of that. What keeps you out of it? All I did was went to take a test. That's all I did. I didn't have any plans on enlisting that day. I was taking the ASVAB test to see what I was good at. I think these are enlistment papers, Dad. I think I've signed them and swore in. But it's totally God's plan. God brought me a girlfriend. Got me a career. I've always told you, God will give you a job before he brings you a girl, guys. Better get a good job. They deserve it. People don't want to go against God's will for their life. I get that. That's admirable, but it's naive. And the reason I say it's naive is because if you're trying to control it, you're going to inadvertently miss what God's trying to teach you. Remember, the 12 disciples he chose were handpicked, and not a one of them had a degree. You had fishermen. You had a doctor. Well, not as you were. You didn't have a doctor. You had a tax collector. You had a zealot. I've told you what a zealot really is, right? We call them terrorists. They killed Roman soldiers. They jump out of the shadows, kill them, and then run. Then you had Judas. He was evidently an accountant. A crooked one. But he was an accountant. And these were the men that God used to turn this world upside down. It's hilarious that people say, well, God is dead. Christianity is a dead religion. Why won't it go away? Well, because it's not dead. If 12 men were able to convert and spread the gospel around the known world at that time, don't you think there's something behind it? Don't you think there's something behind it when politicians want to take away the power, which, by the way, it is not the power of the church. He's throwing that tax-exempt stuff in their face. Churches that kowtow to that, they won't stand. I don't really care. Tax exemption, schmemption. Who cares? I'll preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'll tell the homosexual they're loved. I'll tell the liar they're loved. I'll tell the self-righteous hypocrite they're loved. And it's all the same love. The problem with being told a word out of somebody's flesh instead of out of God's love is now we won't do anything unless we've had 3 confirmations through signs, 2 prophetic utterances, and the butterflies in our stomach. That's not God's will. God's messages to us in the beginning are vague, not defined or clear cut. Again, I'm still talking about the prophecies and messages and using our gifts in love and why it's important, okay? If God would have told me at 16 that I was going to be a preacher, bad timing. Hugely bad timing. At 16, I had a preacher come and tear my dad down. To my face. The gutless wonder didn't have the audacity to talk to my father. And then the head elder came and tore my dad down. That preacher lost his church that year, and that head elder lost everything he had. When I left home, I left because of hypocrisy in the church and in what I saw in other people's lives, in the leadership. Pure on hypocrisy. Oh, we love. No, you just control. That's all you're about is control. God's not about control. God don't care what color underwear you got on. He don't care if they say American Eagle or Nike. Nike can do what they want. My life doesn't move around Nike. So Colin thinks that's how you're going to protest. Well, he figured it out. It's really not. But God's messages are vague. At 16, God began telling me little things through people. At 19, roughly 10,000 miles away, I got the exact same word from somebody else in a totally different part of the world that God was going to do something. And another time, God gave me a little bit more hint. He said I would help break down doors for people. I'm going to tell you right now, I hadn't totally gone into my rebellion yet. I was a Marine, and life was just about to get exciting. But when God told me that, I knew something was coming. And then over the years, God began giving me dreams and visions. He started building me up. He let me start warming up to what I'm doing today. 2 years before he called me, God said, told a man, he said, "You're going to preach. But don't go buy a tent." I had no idea what that meant. I'm like, I don't like tents anyhow. I grew up in tent revivals. You're either sitting in there roasting or you're dodging the raindrops. And they always put the tent in the bottom, right? Anybody ever go to one? The reason they had all that hay was to absorb all the water. God told me that. A year later, we sold the church, and a year after that, 9/11 hit. A week after 9/11, the pastor came and told us our church was closing its doors. And, you know, well, Cheryl was there, and I mean, I was half shaved. I'd started shaving, and next thing I know, knock, knock, knock. Oh, hey, there's a surprise meeting at my house. Okay. And so I sat down, and when God said, he said, "I'm closing the doors." And Phil was the assistant pastor then, and Phil said, "I'm not supposed to take it." When Phil said that, God said, "Take it." I said, "No." But what happened was Angela and I sat up until 4 in the morning. I think the meeting was over by around 8. Until 4 in the morning, we sat up remembering the words God had given us that we would teach as others have not taught. That God gave us favor, gave her favor in Morrow County. He gave her favor, he gave me favor. I've tried to stay below radar. She seems to know everybody. And subsequently, I get to know everybody. We began to remember the word that God had given us. But had God gave me that word 20 years earlier, it wouldn't have worked. I'd probably still be running. Well, you can only run. Oh, yeah, I know you can only run so far. But here's the problem. This work would not be here had God done that. God does not set you up for failure. You'll be tested. Trust me, there's been plenty of tests. But he doesn't set you up for failure in anything he does. So as we begin to mature, we're still living. See, that was the thing. I was still living. Wasn't trying to set my life up around seminary school, trying to get this doctorate or this degree. I can promise you, I can probably go out and get a doctorate in a heartbeat. But they may argue with me on some things, and because I don't kowtow to the religious ideologies that are stupid. And yes, I use the stupid word. But as we mature and we're still living, and God begins to speak to us more plainly, so when the matured word comes, I was mature enough that when God said, take it, the only reason I was mature enough that when God said for me to take it was because this little thing that was instilled in me on an island off the coast of South Carolina called discipline. The instant willing obedience to orders. I said no, but because of the discipline the Marines instilled in me, I did what I was told to do. See, the Marine Corps played a whole big part in it. God will not tell someone born again for 2 weeks they're going to preach and lead crusades. I've known people through the years. Oh, brother, they get the little house groups. That's my only concern about house groups. You start off with, you get prophylying clubs out of them. They can be great for Bible studies, but you got to be careful. Well, there's no head here. Well, then there's no real organization. I'm sorry. The Bible says, one, in the household, the man is the head of the house, and Christ is the head of the man, and he's the head of the church. And he set pastors and prophets and all those to lead the church. And none of them are above one or the other. Let's get that understood in these things, in these roles. Prophets, you're just a pastor. You need to get out of that just being a pastor. I'm going to tell you what, there was something Master Sergeant Cook helped me out with in the Philippines. He was an E-8. He'd been in quite a few years at that point, over 20. He was a comical guy. Hated running as much as everybody else. But he'd been in 20 plus years, so he didn't have to if he didn't want to. And I said something, I said, but Top, I said, First Sergeant said this. He looked at me and said, boy, Top was, about that tall, that wide. He's about that thick, though. He's a black guy. I don't remember where he's from now. He was fun to be with. Never knew what you were going to get into. And I said, Top, First Sergeant said this. He looked at me and said, boy, he said, First Sergeant and I are the same rank. I don't take orders from him. We're the same. He said, his orders control you. We are the same. In the fivefold ministry, we're the same. But there are prophets running around trying to tell Pat, you're just a pastor. Yeah, I'm just a pastor. I'm just the tip of the spear down here with the troops. I had no respect for officers who couldn't lead their troops. You can't run? Why are you making me run? I don't care if you're not a good runner. When we got out, my OIC was a lieutenant who I'd actually served with in the Philippines, and she was not a good runner. Bless her heart. Her heart was there. Her body was not. It would just was rough on her. And I had full respect for her because that woman continued to try. She continued to lead. The previous captain had been enlisted, so he was enlisted and made it to captain. He switched over at some point, which is pretty impressive on paper. He led one run in my nearly two years there. So I didn't have a whole lot of respect. He tried to demand respect. She tried to lead by example. And I had a lot of respect for her. Man will do that. Man will tell somebody 2 weeks in, they'll see. The prophet sees things in people's life. It's what the Holy Spirit's job is. And it's not necessarily the prophet's role to tell that person 2 weeks into their salvation, you're going to lead a crusade. Well, what's Keith do? Well, Keith goes out and says, well, hallelujah, I'm going to lead crusades. I got to start hanging with the right people. I got to get out there. Got to get my name known. I've been saved 2 weeks, Kanye. You don't need to be leading praise and worship services. Apparently he's gotten saved, but he's leading praise and worship. Yeah. I praise God. Deion Sanders did the same thing. Got saved. He got himself a wireless mic, and man, he's up there in his Dallas church. He's a preacher waving his arms. He don't know what he's talking about. You've been saved 2 weeks, Deion. You ain't even got hit yet. Wait until the storm arrives. Then preach. And when you've stood the storm, preach. And when the storm comes and you're in the storm, preach. But that ain't what happened. And I've seen people over the years. I worked with a guy. He told me he was hanging out with a motorcycle group, Christian motorcycle group. And they one of them decided to prophesy over him that he was going to preach. He was going to be a great preacher. The guy's been saved, I think, at this point, a week. He took that, and boy, he just stuck out his chest, rolled his shoulders back. I'm a preacher. I'm called to preach God's word. Well, the problem is, you didn't grow beyond that. His walk. He didn't even know the walk yet. Your first week in relationship with Jesus Christ is like your first week with your girlfriend. You two are on your best behavior, aren't you? After a while, you maybe catch her pick her nose. I didn't. She hocked a loogie in the pond on me. I've told that one. But then, here comes the all-important one, all you married couples, and if you ain't married, it's coming. Y'all know what I'm talking about. There comes that moment. We were newlyweds. I just traveled, I think at that point, 13,000 miles, a little jet-lagged, and traveling does not do good on my stomach. And I said, I'm sorry. We looked at each other and said, one of us has got to do it. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I look back and regret the day we did it. You first. No. You. No, you. I'm dying here. Okay. Let her rip. That's what happens when you get to know somebody a little more. Oh, we go, oh, yeah, man. You know, come on, listen. My first week that I had enlisted, I wasn't even boot camp yet. Do you know what the number one question people hit me with? Are you going to make it a career? And I told people, maybe, I might. 2 years in, no. No, I'm not. I've been deployed for a year and a half. I'm good. The reality of the Corps, like I said, I've told you before, it was a love-hate relationship. I love to hate it, and I hated to love it. It taught me some great things, and I would do it all over again in a heartbeat. But I don't think I'd make it a career. More people were killed in my field anyhow than any other, than in the combat fields because of accidents. God will not do that to a person. He will not tell them right off the bat that they're going to be preaching and leading crusades because this person is a novice. They have no roots. God may have a calling on their life, but to tell them at such a young age will only hinder true growth and puff up their pride. Love does not set one up for pride or a fall. 1 Timothy 3. This is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. By the way, that's actually my position. It's not what it has become. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, and able to teach. Not given to wine, not violent, not greedy. Although, now that second one, y'all know. I'm really not violent. I'm not, okay? I know people say I am, but I'm really not. Not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous. One who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. That's why God will not call somebody saved 2 weeks in and tell them they're going to be preaching, they're going to be doing all this. I happen to know a man, and I've met him. Pretty much that's exactly what happened. I think within 6 months of his salvation, he was leading worldwide crusades. Got involved in some stuff, and you know, it was all supposed to be the Holy Spirit moving and all this. They made sure that, first off, every preacher that left that position or that particular move of God was a millionaire. Second off, he had an affair with his secretary during that and said it was God. Come on. That's not God. He was immature as a believer and should never have been appointed yet. He should have been given time to grow. Take 10 years to grow. I think about 10 years, if you didn't grow up in ministry, and even then, I don't care what your name is. I don't care who your daddy, your granddaddy is. How about you get out and walk the walk everybody else is walking? Walk the walk your granddaddy or your daddy taught and walked. But don't tell me that you walk in the same walk when you got handed everything. Nobody handed me an ordination certificate. I had to earn that. My pastor said, okay. God told me to go to said, 1 year, you start preaching. You start building your church, and in 1 year, I'm going to call people in your community. You're going to give me a list of names, and then I'm going to pull random people out of the phone book. Some of you were there when he said he passed. I take a little rejoicing, I'm going to say pride, in that fact. Because most people, you can actually get ordained online now. No character involved. But Pastor Dosek wanted to make sure character is what counted. He didn't know what a character I was, though, did he? And I say that to say all this. It didn't happen overnight. Folks, we've been here. We've been as a ministry in this community for 18 years. God told us to go to Mount Gilead, by the way. The original ministry that was started in Edison was told to go to Mount Gilead. Not Edison. There's a difference. He told Jonah to go to Joppa, didn't he? No. He told him to go to, Nineveh. He went to Joppa. He didn't go where he was called. You get in the Word of God, you start obeying. The details matter. The details matter, folks. You think I'm kidding? Cross the property line. Build your house on somebody else. Just build the edge of your house on somebody else 6 inches over. Tell me what's going to happen. I have a friend who built a house or built a garage in Candlewood. It was only after he built it he found out he built on the other lot that he didn't own. He had to buy the other lot. Had to. Fortunately, I don't think somebody took advantage of him, but that would be what a lot of people would do. Oh, you now have to buy my lot or tear your building down. So the price of my lot just tripled. Instead of, no, I'll sell it to you. I'm never going to build on it. What we've seen God do didn't happen overnight. Came up in board meeting the other night. We have 1 year left on the land contract. 1 year. This is all ours. It's all ours. No more monthly payment to the land contract. We didn't do any big drives. We just continued to do what God told us to do. God orchestrated it all. Folks, I'm telling you, it's like 11,000 and some change. That's it. That is phenomenal to me. I mean, I'm just, Joshua asked me yesterday, he said, Dad, how much did you buy the property for? We bought it for $115. Commercial property with these buildings on it, not in the condition they're in. They're worth considerably more now. That was all God. God led me here. You listen to God. If I'd listened to everybody else, see, I love Pastor Dosek. He gave me advice on several things that weren't God for me. They worked for him, and that's why he told me them. But for me, it didn't work. Art, get on the radio. Okay. So what we called the radio. We're finding out how much it was going to be, $500 a month. I think we had $400 a month coming in. Well, radio is not an option. So we put a huge billboard up. Not one person. The one thing that he told me stay away from, newspaper. He said, it's dead. It's dead. Just out of a show of hands, how many of you have seen the ad in the Compass? So is the rest of the county. I get it all the time. You look familiar. Do you get the Compass? Yeah. I go to the Amish community, folks. There's some boys over at the metal shop, 80 Metals. You look, you're that guy in the paper. Oh, they think I'm a celebrity. I'm a celebrity in the Amish community. I'm in the paper. It's kind of funny. But God did all this. Not me. Didn't know how to do it. That's my first argument. God, I don't know how to do all this. Well, sent me to Pastor Dosek. He hooked us up with everything, how to get all that, all the paperwork in line and everything. Boom, 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 boom. And it went. And the rest, we just started following God. We started listening to the Holy Spirit, going where he went, doing what he said to do. It's what the Holy Spirit does. He doesn't speak what he doesn't hear. He doesn't tell us to do things God didn't tell us to do. That's why I want you to operate through love with your gift, with the leading of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will never tell you anything contrary to what God has said. Because by the way, you may be saying, well, I'm going to give this person, I'm going to be a little benevolent, I'm going to give them 10 bucks. Knowing God just told you to give them 100. Right? One day, when we struggled there for a while, but God moved some things in our favor. We were able to buy a house, and things were going, and I just had a few bucks. I mean, anybody ever get to where, man, like 50 bucks? Oh, I got breathing room. I got 50 bucks, right? I had 50 bucks that wasn't accounted for. I didn't have to pay a bill with it. All my bills were paid, and I had $50. Boy, I was like, what am I going to do with that $50? Am I going to go buy some paint and paint my house? Or am I going to do this? And as I'm sitting there thinking about it, I heard that somebody in the church, their husband had lost their job, and he wasn't in the church, and that they needed some food. Well, we threw a couple bags of groceries together. We didn't have a whole lot. We threw a couple bags of groceries in there, and God said, and give him that $50. Am I sure that's you, God? Not just my heart wanting to be good. He said, give the $50 and he'll come to church. He did. Unfortunately, he just passed away a couple weeks ago, but he came to church. Started getting his life right with God again for $50. Pretty good bargain, I think. By the way, God never stopped moving on my behalf. Never. I didn't have to paint that house. God made sure somebody else did. God continued to bless because we listened. We followed. We walked where he said to walk. We did what he said to do. Not everybody that comes here and says, oh, I've got kids. That's the first thing they do. It just makes me sick. I got kids. Can you give me some money? Me and my boyfriend, we were out last night. Well, there's your first mistake. You're going out? You can ask Angel. We didn't go anywhere. We didn't have no money. Food came first. Gas was right in there with food because I had to get to work or else I wasn't going to have any mood for money for gas, rent, electric, and all that other good stuff. So in the end, we learned to trust God. And that's what this is why God is, this was one of the things God told us. We would teach as others have not taught. I can't tell you how many preachers they never taught you just to trust God. I'll help you if we can. But we can only go so far. I mean, I can't carry you every month. We had a couple people that thought that was going to be a good idea. Well, then I found out they own a house. They weren't really homeless. They just didn't want to man up and take what was theirs. Kind of made me mad. And they've tried it a few more times with other people. And they finally said, no. No, it's time you grow up. That's the hard thing for the church to say, isn't it? Grow up. People get mad at the pastor when they say, it's time for you to grow up. You're not a little boy anymore. I'm going to tell you right now, I heard that every day for 3 stinking months. Now, you got to imagine Smokey pulled down where you can't see their eyes. Green pants, tan shirt, leather duty belt. Boys, it's time for you to grow up. I'm sick and tired of this doggone stuff. That was clean, polite, by the way. Watch Full Metal Jacket, you'll get the hint. Because that's real. And I grew up. Imagine that. Responsible for my own stuff. And that's all the church has to do, is do what they're called to do. Nothing more, nothing less. Do what you're called to do. God didn't call us to have a food pantry. We bless Edison Enterprise. Why? They've got the thing going. They know how to do it. They know how it works best. Why do I need to compete? We're the church. We're the body. You know, my big toe is way down here. But yet it's holding this noggin in place. I'm not falling over. You miss them, don't you? I just had to. I'm sorry. I love you, brother. So, you know, we do what we're supposed to do. We'll pick up next week. We're going to go eat. I'm going to bless the food. It's a great time. But we're going to pray. We're going to pray for Eddie Colgrove from Edison Enterprise. He had a stroke. Was it Friday night or yesterday? Yesterday. And we're going to pray for him. And we're going to pray for Melissa. Yeah. I got it right here. Okay. But that's what the church, this is what the church is called to do. Jesus said, my house was supposed to be called a house of prayer, not entertainment. We didn't play the music today for you to be entertained. You just happen to like the music that goes along with it. It's not for entertainment. No smoke show, no light show, no videos rolling behind it of Jesus carrying his cross and all that stuff. Why are we focused on entertainment today? And what's hilarious is all these people that I see posting preachers talking about the entertainment, and I'm like, have you been in one of your services? You got a drama team running over here. You are part. Your message is keyed with that drama team. Now you've got a video rolling in with it. You got the light show. You got the smoke rolling. Come on. That's entertainment. I've been to a few concerts. My last one was Skillet, and it cost me a concussion. Oh, that's right. I did go see Toby Mac. Yeah. I'm not a hip-hop guy. If somebody had been a hip-hop person, boy, you'd have loved it. We were right. We were from me to Phil, from where he was at. They had this thing that stuck out in the panel. It was like, dude, okay. It's not headbanging music, but. So I just headbang in my truck. All right, let's stand. Like I said, we're going to bless the food as well. Is there an order to things, my love? Did you say preacher first? Phil first. Okay. But I think A comes before P, though. But yeah, well, let's do it the way we should. Our elders first. And don't argue over who's got 6 months on each other, please. Remember, we're talking about love. Besides that, most of you I know don't want to be older than what you really are. All right, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for this day. Lord, we thank you for 18 years to be able to minister to your people, to bless this community, Lord God, this county and this state. And now, Father, I thank you and praise you that your word is alive and it is moving in our hearts. Father, that as we continue to grow, Father, I pray for those who have got stuck on a word that was given 20 years ago, too soon. Lord, I pray that you help them get back in your will to follow your life the way you created them to do it, not the way somebody else thought they needed to. And now, Father, we lift up our brother Eddie. Father, I thank you and praise you right now for a 100% recovery for my friend. Lord, I thank you that you're healing everything in his brain, Lord God, everything in his muscles. Father, his memory will be perfect, his speech, his strength. Father, his stability right now, in Jesus' name, I thank you and praise you that you're healing him. And Father, we also take a stand against this MS that Missy's got or being tested, Father. I pray right now, in Jesus' name, you heal her. Father, we curse that disease in the name of Jesus. We command her body to be healed and whole the way you created it. And we thank you for that healing, Father. And now, Lord, I thank you for the 18 years to be here ministering to your people. Lord, I thank you that you've put a love in me for them that was not ever there. So, Father, I thank you for that. But now, Lord, I bless your people. I thank you for them. I really do. Father, I bless their lives. I bless their endeavors. Father, I bless their relationships. Father, I pray that you give them wisdom and strength in the turmoil times, Lord, that are just not, the relationships are strained. I pray that you give them that wisdom. Father, I thank you and praise you that you're moving in their lives. Father, those that are self-employed, I thank you for your opportunities for more business, Lord God. And those that work for a boss, I thank you that they are moving. They are being blessed. Their company is being blessed. So, Father, I thank you and praise you for all of that. And now, Lord, we thank you for the food we're about to eat. We bless it. We thank you for all the hands that prepared it and pray that you bless them. In Jesus' name, amen.